Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Bulldozer Matt Tremont, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
There were days where I didn't think I would go the distance, and to be completely honest, I didn't go the distance.
Okay, interview over. Good night, folks. No, I'm kidding.
This is the Greek god, Demetrius Papadon, the greatest unsigned talent today, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Radio.
This is Magnum, and I'm calling from New Jersey, and I can't stand the nonsense that I'm listening to right now.
You've got to be kidding me. Oh, should I have put the band that you stay off the phone to? You
first
went to antagonize me for a year?
The recap.
Is that enough? I see your horrible little posts on Facebook.
The recap of this match, I mean, just... He got out of breath talking. The guy can barely move around the ring. It was a fluke that he won. I mean, you didn't reverse my cover. You were like a bear in hibernation during midwinter, and you rolled over to get more comfortable, and your sheer weight just pinned me to the ground. That's what did it.
Hi, I'm Bink Bottom Trouser, the ring announcer from Sideshow Pro Wrestling, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Oh, I'm going to make it a little bit different this week. We're going to change it up for once because it's not just one man. It's not just one radio show. It's not just one company. It's the organization. It's the family. So speaking of New Moon Rising Wrestling and Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, I'm going to say one family can make a difference.
Hey, guys, this is Salamander Jones, and you're listening to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio.
Hell in a Cell Radio!
Welcome to yet another exciting edition, an edition where Bandito Jr. returns, Dan, to Hell in a Cell Talk Radio. I am your host. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can follow me at Folsom County on Twitter. With me, as always, is the above-average comedian, Dan the Man Law. How are you tonight, sir?
You know, I, and for a shoot here, real quick, I'm very burned out. I'm very tired. I'm not getting sleep. And I'm very, very slow and very sleepy during the day. And then I get to showtime, and this is really the only thing during the week other than my girlfriend that keeps me alive. I tell you, it really does at this point.
Thank you, Dean.
Well, you're fired.
I'm fired.
Where can the people find you, Dan?
You can find me fired almost on DanLaw 83.
All right, Dan. I'm
almost.
Telling you what. We'll be joined later on by Chris Omega Squad Green, and you can follow him at Omega Squad on Twitter.
I only wish I had a Transformer-like name now.
Now you can read the blog at HIACTalkRadio.com. It's being updated more frequently these days, and thank goodness for that. Follow the Twitter at HIACTalkRadio. Like the Facebook at Facebook.com/CellInTheHell. Subscribe on iTunes, just search for Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, and of course we are proudly part of the BradyHicks.com.
And we will be having our first round of stickers to give out soon.
Sounds amazing.
Yes, we're networking.
Sounds amazing. Now, Dan, tonight, as I said at the open, it is the return of Bandito Jr. It's been a while since he's been on the program, and I can't wait to catch up with mi hermano de otra madre.
Si.
That's right. My brother from another mother. That's right.
No comprendo, senor.
No, it's my brother from another mother. That's right.
Si.
So, we also have the reigning DWF champion. It's almost a year that he's had this title.
Man.
And he's taken on all comers. He's taken on former CZW champion Devin Moore.
He's taken on Jake Bishop from New Moon Rising Wrestling. He's taken on his own partner, Blackie, King Blackie. So we're going to talk to him.
I'm interested to see, I have a very important question I'd like to ask. I'm interested to see how that went.
Yes, yes, we're going to get into all that. Of course we're going
to... And I also heard before... Well, here, yeah, finish that and then I'll...
Well, we're going to be joined by Justin America for his segment, Just in America.
Waka waka. Get it, guys? Come on, guys.
Life moves on after fan mail, Dan.
I don't know, man. You replayed his closing remarks, and I yearn for another fan mail.
Don't we all, Dan? Don't we all? I'll tell you, there's always something special when fan mail hit the clock. And I'll tell you what were you going to say, Dan? I'm sorry.
I was going to say there was another indie star that just recently got picked for a TNA gut check. Then I'm interested to know on how that went.
Oh, who? We're talking about Ty still or somebody else?
No, Chris Wilde.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
I did not.
Yes, sir. He made the announcement, I think, yesterday. And that I'm interested to see how that goes. It would be nice to see, even if it's just for an episode, nice to see one of the local guys get up there and get on TV and represent for, 10, 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Be nice for Chains and all these other guys you never heard of. Look at how.
Well, speaking, I want to get this while we have a little bit of time. Bandito, of course. I guess not of course, but he hasn't called in yet. So.
Of course. Wow. What are you trying to say, Dean?
I don't know.
Huh.
Honor your commitments, Bandito. That's all I have to say. But this Friday. This Friday we have a big card. He never listens to the show, Dan. It's not going to be a big deal.
That's not the point. Other people do. You told me not to say anything. I was sitting on a joke for the first 10 minutes. I hate you so much.
It's only been 7 minutes, Dan. But anyway, this coming Friday, Dan. We have NWA Liberty States is making its debut, and they're going to have a big card. Now, this is at Hasbrook Heights, VFW, 513 Springfield Avenue. Of course, that's Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey, 07604. Now, it's a 7:30 bell. Tickets are $15 and $12.
And say what you want. I mean, this is when I still feel when you have the name NWA in front of something that it means something. I mean, NWA was only the top wrestling, can you say promotion or conglomerate?
Conglomerate's good, Dan.
For years, forever, before Vinnie Mac came in and took everybody, which is just summarized version.
Now, of course, one of the main events is going to be Hurricane Helms. That's right. That Hurricane is taking on Smith James. That's right, Smith James.
Who?
Exactly. Now, the finals of a one-night tournament to crown the first NWA Liberty States champion will also be taking place. Now, Afa Jr. is the big name that's in that one. Afa, of course, was Manu.
Yes, very good.
Part of whatever Randy Orton's faction was, that short-lived faction.
The boring Samoans or something, because everybody with Randy Orton is boring these days.
No, it was Randy Orton. Legacy. That's right. It was Legacy.
Yes.
Yes, I'm always on top of things when it comes to the television product out there.
Yes, because it's so good.
Now, Afa Jr. is, of course, entered in this tournament, so that should be interesting to see how this... now, Goldberg was supposed to be there. I'm not sure if he's going to be there or not. He announced his retirement on Wednesday, Dan.
No!
He gave up the school?
The
Goldberg Pro Wrestling Academy? No more. It's been taken over by another group, so Goldberg has retired.
No, I did not know that, legitimately.
So, of course, again, that is NWA Liberty States. That's at the Hasbrook Heights VFW, 513 Springfield Avenue, Dan, in Hasbrook Heights.
A quick follow-up question. All these other, and I'm going to turn that off before you yell at me. All these other NWA companies.
Mm-hmm.
Does the NWA title go through all of them?
Sometimes. The champion still does go through territory to territory. Usually the ones that have a television deal, though, Dan.
Gotcha.
Like NWA, the one in Florida, NWA Hollywood or whatever it is, the one in California.
Yeah, right.
NWA on fire and all that stuff. So
NWA on fire.
It's on fire. That's really why I wanted an explosion name, but I don't know, Dan.
Well, so, you know, as long as you don't spell explosion with an X.
I think we're fine.
I think eruption was fine, too, for a good...
Eruption! It's always an eruption! Well, Dan, I'm going to throw things around again, because...
of course, still, Ben, we still haven't found Bandito.
No, where is he? Maybe we'll get Joel instead. Where's Joel?
Every time I hear that name, I think of two things. Your cummerbund insults me, and I've been in this business before you were born. When were you born? 1976. I was in this business right after you were born.
That's right.
The man has impeccable timing sometimes.
Now, Dan, of course, this...
You're eating, he won't go away.
We'll get into predictions a little bit later on, but this Saturday, New Moon Rising Wrestling returns, and it's headlined by a big ladder match. Now, one I'm going to keep a very close eye on. Now, in that eight-man ladder match, you're going to have the team of dummies, as I like to call them, and that is, of course, Tank Tolan, the biggest dummy on the show, the biggest star on the show, but the biggest dummy. I guess you're agreeing with that.
No, I'm disagreeing. I'm just going to let you step in your own crap and have to deal with it, you know.
So anyway, the biggest dummy, Tank Tolan, a man who hasn't upgraded since 2000, Mike Reed.
That one I agree with.
Yeah.
With marshmallows.
Anyone with a pulse would agree with that, Dan.
Anyone with a pulse does. I've been there.
we're also going to have the team, if you can call them that. If you saw the last ECWA show, you know these two are fighting tooth and nail. The only reason they're together, Dan, is contractual obligations.
Is that it?
Yes, contractual obligations is what's keeping these two together. And as such, I say the team in quotation marks of Damian Dragon, Matt Sygon, Fusion DS.
I mean, they were against a team that, you know, I hadn't heard. They looked pretty solid last month.
Not only that, Dan, they're going up against a team that is strong. Come on, it's Jake Bishop, the heavyweight champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling, Justin America, the United States champion of New Moon Rising, and the tag team champions of New Moon Rising Wrestling, the Untouchables.
Yeah, I can't disagree with you. I've been there every month. I've seen the wins. I've seen the matches. They're still the champs.
Jake Bishop, of course, defeated and finally put an end to the feud with Luis the Punisher Martinez.
For now.
True.
I mean,
Justin America winning the United States title last month at December to Remember from Tyrino, our guest later on. And the Untouchables, of course, defeated all comers, including Fusion DS, who is in this match. Now, Dan, I really have to say... things don't look good for the dummies.
No, things don't look good for the good guys. Okay, dummies. What's wrong with you, dude?
It doesn't look good for the dummies. But
where do you get the idea, dummies?
Well, you know, they're dummies. But Dan, we're gonna hold off just for a second because we're gonna bring on our guest.
Oh.
And that is Bandito Jr. We found him. Now, of course, Bandito Jr., he's a two-time CZW World Tag Team Champion with his partner Azriel. They're part of Four Loko. And in my view, they had the match of the night at the last CZW show, Ascension. Not only that, the month before, they started off the CZW Cage of Death with a match that very nearly was the match of the night.
They so pretty much on fire.
Oh, these guys, Bandito and Azriel.
Bandito and Azriel are pretty freaking amazing. Let me just say that. I mean, them not having a match of the night is pretty rare.
Very rare. The only thing that I felt was bad, and this was a match, I mean, Cage of Death, you had Adam Cole against Sami Callihan. You had, of course, Tremont against Hyde in the Cage of Death. And then you had Four Loko taking on... the Nation of Intoxication. And I'll tell you, But we'll talk to him about all that, his CZW, what's going on there. We're going to talk about CTWE, a lot of matches he had there. So we're going to bring him on right after this, Dan.
I need to apologize. I lost track of time. I've been running around, you know, being in the gym and stuff. So I am sorry for calling in late.
He's at the gym and we're sitting here on our asses doing a show.
Well, that's true.
You know, and real quick before you go into it, Dean, how can you not have a match of the night after that music?
That is true. Now, what I was telling Dan while that music was playing, you and I, we have to go to a rave, Bandito, and just have a good time, you know.
I'm a big fan of house music and what they call dirty Dutch house music. I come from a family with actual, you know, DJs, and you know, growing up listening to them play house music and stuff really stuck to me, you know. So you know, even now I still love it. So it's a good pump, you know.
It really is. It really is. And, of course, Azrael has that classic song, Pussy Liquor.
Yes.
That really fires me up as well.
There really is no other way to go.
But let's just get it straight. Pussy Liquor, and it's liquor as in alcohol.
Yes. Anything else would just not be appropriate for all ages.
I'm just saying Rob Zombie is a genius.
Rob Zombie is, especially with an innuendo such as that. Now, Bandito, I really want to talk about, first of all, CZW. Now, you're involved in a big feud. It's still going on. This month you kind of took off from it, but the Nation of Intoxication, what's going on there with those guys? It's Lucky 13, Devin Moore, and the Havoc Kid. What's going on there?
Well, you know, those guys, they're trying to take away what's ours, which is, well, I mean, I guess you could say they did at Cage of Death, but they're just simply jealous that, you know, we came into their house, we won the tag titles, we formed a stable with Alex Colon and Chrissy Rivera, and I guess they kind of thought we were in their way a little bit, so, you know, they took matters into their own hands and tried to take us out of some sort.
Exactly. Now, you guys, you've traded the titles back and forth. Now, going into that Cage of Death match, you guys were the champions, but were you really trying to have, like, the match of the night? Were you just trying to start off the night on a high note for the rest of the guys to try to top you?
I mean, as everybody knows, CZW's biggest event of the year, it's the Cage of Death, and it's just like a WrestleMania or TNA's Bound for Glory. You know, you want to start off the show with a bang, and our mentality was we were just going to go out there and just blow the roof off the place. I mean, there's a tradition at CZW. We want to open up Cage of Death in a big way, and what better way to open it up with Ultraviolent Insanity? And we went out there, and we did just that. We tore the roof off the place, in my opinion.
No, you guys certainly did, and that's, I mean, that's really something when, after everything that happened that night, of course, DJ and Tremont were in the main event. Sammy and Adam, I guess their feud is still there because they're going to wrestle in February against each other again with tag team partners. But with all those matches that happened that night, you guys people were still talking about when the night was over.
I mean, and that's what we wanted. You know, we wanted the people to go in and, you know, expecting the unexpected, but at the very end of the night, we wanted them to talk about Four Loko and even the nation and what they did to open up K to Death.
Now, how did you feel this past event, Ascension? You guys, it kind of seemed disrespectful to me, at least from an outside observer. You guys are taking on two newcomers, Cullen Delaney, and I don't even remember the other guy's name, to be frank with you. Now, but my name's Dean. But I don't know. I mean, how did you feel? You guys still had a great match, one of the better matches of the show. I mean, so what happened? What happened then?
We just, you know, kind of took it as, okay, well, if they're going to throw this team at us, well, you know, we'll do what we do best and we'll take them out. But it's like I said, you know, in recent promos, we still have a rematch clause against the nation. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, we'll be getting that rematch next month. But it was just, you know, it was on the heels of Cage of Death and them, you know, booking us against Castle and Delaney was just something to kind of brush off what happened the month before and to get back on track.
Oh, okay. I see. I see. So that's actually probably good. I would have taken it as a slight myself, but you're taking the businessman's approach of,
Azrael and myself were out to prove that, no, we can hang with the best of tag teams, and, you know, we do have what it takes to be a top tag team, not only in CZW, but in pro wrestling. So, you know, we won't, you know, back down from any challenge. If you know, you got two new guys that want to try to make a name for themselves against former CZW tag champs, then so be it. But, I mean, you were there. You saw what happened at the end of the match. So it was all good for us, you know?
That's for sure. You guys continue to build your legacy in CZW. Now, what I want to do is I have a clip. When we had Adam Cole on last time, we talked about your match with Adam Cole up in CTWE, and yes, it was Born for Battle. So this is what Adam had to say about the match he had with you, and then we'll be right back. Another thing that happened this year, you made your way to CTWE. You debuted, you wrestled one of their stars up there, Bandito Jr., at Born to Battle 3. Now, personally, when I saw this on YouTube, I thought this was the match that I have seen this year. This was the match of the year.
No.
But bar none, everything about that match, the way you guys, the psychology, the pacing, just everything about this match. What are your thoughts of that, what I think is a great match?
Yeah, well, for you know, first of all, again, thank you very much. Your compliments mean a lot. And that was a situation where I had been dying to get into the ring with Bandito Jr. for years, because me and him had worked a lot of shows together. I'd seen him in some great matches. He's seen me in matches before. So it was one of those deals where we always said, man, I really hope we get that one-on-one match sometime. And fortunately for me, CTWE, it was like, you know, a day before I left for a two-week tour of England. You know, they had contacted me about wanting to come in and do the show, and I found out I was wrestling Bandito Jr., and I'm like, oh, of course I'll be there. So, yeah, that was one of those deals where that's certainly a match that I'm very proud of, and I still feel like we could do better. You know, I definitely think if we had more time to really create something really special, I feel like we could do even better than that, considering it was the first time we touched. But, yeah, definitely a match I'm proud of. Bandito Jr. is awesome, just a great talent. So, yeah, I would love to step into the ring with him again, for sure.
You just said that was the first time you guys wrestled.
Yeah, first time we've ever touched. Yeah, first time we've ever wrestled.
Wow. Wow. Okay. I want a rematch. I don't care where. I don't care what company.
I don't care how. I don't care where.
But
let's, it must happen.
Yeah, let's get that done. Now, moving right along.
I'm down. I'm with you guys, yeah.
Now, coming out of a match like that, first of all, how do you feel about that match as Adam does?
I was actually, you know, it like when Adam said, you know, we have done a lot of shows together, and you know, we every time we spoke to each other, it's like, man, I just want to get in the ring with you just once. And when Joey Bricco, who's the promoter of CTW, he contacted me and said, you know, that I was going to be working Adam Cole at the Born for Battle event, I was just like, awesome. I mean, I think my reaction was more like, man, it's about time. You know what I mean? Because, like, and the thing with Adam is, like, you know, I saw when, you know, when he first became a trainee at the CZW Academy, and when, you know, he'd come to indie shows, and I remember he was always with his partner and, you know, trying to do things to, you know, get his exposure, to get out there, to, you know, do other shows. And as he progressed, he just got better and better. I mean, and now him being, you know, a big star in Ring of Honor, and who knows, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that he's going to rise to be an even bigger star. And that night, man, we were just both so excited, and we got in there, and it was just like the chemistry was just unreal. And it's become my favorite match right now in my career, you know, competing with Adam Cole. And I would certainly do it 1,000 times more if you know, if I had the chance to do so. But, you know, Adam is a tremendous talent. He's got a bright future ahead of him, and the match was very special to me. It was very special, you know. When I heard they posted it up online, I must have watched it like 50 times. And I think had we had you know, more time, and you know, it's we could have done something even more spectacular than what we did. And thank you guys for the compliments and stuff. I mean, you know, it was a match that's really special to me.
Well, you answered the first question, so we answered the second one, so I'll answer the first one again. Do you know at the time when you're done in the ring that you've had a match that good, or you have to go back and watch it?
You know what? Me as a performer, I'd go back and watch my match, whether if it was terrible or good. You know,
yeah.
Us as wrestlers, we do it to study ourselves, to better ourselves. Try to figure out what we can do better, what we shouldn't do. But, you know, with the crowd reaction and the reaction we got at the very end with the standing ovation, I knew for a fact that, you know, we had done something special.
So did you ever had a match where maybe the crowd wasn't up to support, maybe the reaction wasn't so great, and you did look back and you said, oh, that was amazing?
I'm sorry, you guys were breaking up. Can you repeat that, please?
Can you hear me now, Mandino?
Yeah.
All right. Have you ever had a match where the crowd maybe wasn't so much into it and you were nervous, but then you've gone back and you've seen it and it was a perfect match?
Yes, that's almost every one of my matches I have that I end up being happy about. You know, I get to the back and I'm like, man, the crowd really wasn't into it, and everybody's like, no, man, you did good. I was like, I don't know, man, I wasn't feeling it out there. But then, you know, you go back, you watch the tape, and you're like, oh, okay, maybe they were into it, you know what I mean? And, you know, to be able to, like, wow a crowd and have them like you, and, you know, for you to, like, hear that they enjoy what you're doing, that they respect what you're doing, you know, while you're in there is even more special. And that's why, man, it's wrestling fans do make us wrestlers, you know?
Now, CTWE, I mean, that's really a special promotion. You've had a chance to wrestle some of the biggest stars up there. I mean, Michael Elgin's another guy that you wrestled up there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a really special place. Just go into CTWE for maybe someone who doesn't know about the promotion.
CTWE is, it's a promotion based out of Connecticut. It was run by Joey Burko, who was a former, you know, pro wrestler. And, you know, this guy, he got into wrestling. He wanted to run shows. And you know, they started small. And then eventually they grew, and, you know, their crowd was growing. You know, they got more fans. And, you know, the more people you get, the more money you make. So here they are making this money. Why not bring in some stars? I mean, in the past they brought in guys like Low Key. Rhino was there when I wrestled Elgin. The Bella Twins were just there. And they're really growing, and they're really turning into something special. And, you know, for a small company based out of Connecticut, it's looking good for them.
Now, I have a quick question about the mask. First time I met you, wearing the mask. Second time I met you, wearing the mask. I've seen a couple matches of late, and you haven't been wearing the mask. Is it something, is it a random thing? Do you wear the mask for specific reasons? What's the deal behind that?
Well, you know, obviously I walk out with the mask because my dad, during his career, you know, wrestled with a mask. And that was just, my homage to him was to walk out with the mask. I really didn't have any intention on wrestling with the mask, but, you know, like, for instance, ECWA contacted me, and they're like, you know, listen, we want you to come up here, and we want you to, you know, is it okay if you wrestle under the mask? And I'm like, I don't know, because I'm pretty much established as an unmasked wrestler, you know, I mean, I walk out with it, and people know, you know, what I look like, and they're like, oh, well, you know, our fans here in Delaware, they're pretty isolated, I mean, and I was like, hey, if that's what you want, I'll do it. I don't have a problem with it. I mean, it wasn't the first time I wrestled under a mask, and I'm almost positive it won't be the last. But, yeah, that was it. It's just, you know, if there's a promotion that'll contact me, you know, listen, we have a lot of kids, you know, you want to wrestle under the mask, and, you know, that's fine. I don't mind. And it's something special, you know, and it symbolizes something special to me and my family, you know, and – yeah, I mean, it really doesn't have to be a night where, you know, I can't wrestle with the mask, or you know, it's just the promoters want it, I'll do it, not a problem.
All right, now another thing I wanted to bring up, when I was asking you about CZW, you said there's a rematch taking place now.
I think next month we'll be getting a rematch. I'm not too sure. This is what I'm hearing, you know, just me wandering around, you know, backstage and stuff. It's not set in stone, but I'm almost positive we may be getting a rematch next month.
Awesome. Hopefully so, because I think there's unfinished business there with the Nation of Intoxication. Now, where else are you these days? I know CTWE. There's another promotion in North Jersey, I believe.
Yes, they're called ECPW, East Coast Pro Wrestling. You know, Gino Caruso, who is the promoter of the company, I've known him for years. I mean, Gino came up with my dad as well. You know, he also, I think he did some work back in WCW at the power plant and all that stuff. And, you know, he gave me the chance to, you know, cause me watching him wrestle, and I remember watching guys like him and Nunzio and all these guys come up, and, you know, he was like, hey, listen, man, are you here? You work? And you're like, I'm working. And I'm like, yeah, sure, of course. You know, we go way back, you know. And this Saturday, actually, it's a promoter. His name is Amado. He's from Puerto Rico. And the show is in conjunction with ECPW. They're running their first show here in North Jersey in Passaic. And a lot of great Latin talent, a lot of great Spanish guys. You got guys like Ricky Reyes, Homicide, Azrael. And then you got the Black Keys. You know, you guys, some of you may know him as Sabian. He's on the show. And it's a pretty stacked card. A lot of talent from Puerto Rico as well. These are guys, you know, you got the Marvelous BJ and the Sensational Carlito and all these guys. They all are established stars in Puerto Rico. They came up, wrestled for both Savio Vega and Carlos Colon. And now they get to showcase their talent here in Puerto Rico, along with guys like the Electric Siler and Mr. 450 Hamet and a couple other guys. So it'll be an interesting yet fun show.
So I have a curious question, being that I'm a fan. Has there been any other promotions, say, in Delaware that have felt back to get you coming back to the shows yet?
listen,
you don't have to answer that if you don't want to. I understand.
I'll put it to you like this. I didn't join wrestling to make enemies. I didn't want to, you know. I didn't join wrestling to put a sour taste in anybody's mouth. This is something I love to do. And if anybody in the state of Delaware would like to book me, I'd be more than happy to go back.
I want to get back, man, you know.
Yeah. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? You know, things like this happen all the time. But it's like I said, I do this because I love it, because it's in my blood. You know, I grew up in it. And, you know, it doesn't bother me. If they want me back, I'll come back without a problem, you know.
Thank you for answering the question and not running me down. I appreciate that.
Oh, not a problem.
All right, so a lot of big things going on for you. I, for one, am happy to see that.
Hell yeah.
You know, world tag team titles, and you've had great matches with Adam Cole. So if you could sum up 2012, now, of course, you were in the Super 8 Finals last year. You had a good run with ECWA before things happened that we're not getting into. CZW, you won the tag titles. Actually, you won it in 2011, and then you lost them and won them again. I mean, if you could wrap up 2012 as a whole, I mean, what would you really say? I mean, definitely, I think there was a lot more exposure for you.
Yes, 2012 was incredible. I established a lot more than I thought I would. I accomplished a lot more than I thought I would. And it was a lot of fun. It was a great ride, you know, going from coming in the finals at the ECWA Super 8 to winning, you know, the tag team titles at CZW, winning tag team titles at ECWA. What else? I got to compete in for a promotion out in Long Island called NYWC. I got to compete in their Iron Man match, which is something very, you know, that signifies what NYWC is all about. And, you know, I was able to compete in that. I made my Extreme Rising debut back in December, which was also pretty awesome. It was just an amazing year for me. And now that 2013's here, I'm hoping for this one to be an even better year.
Yeah, definitely. That's one question. I'm glad you brought that up. Extreme Rising. That
yes.
was kind of a surprise. Was that like a last minute thing? You and Azriel, of course, competed there.
Yes, it was last minute. You know, the company, they're looking for tag teams. You know, as we all know, wrestling is in desperate need of great tag teams. But yeah, you know, we were contacted, and actually, it was Papa Don who contacted me. You know, asked if we were available for that day, and I said, sure, why, what's up? He's like, oh, you know, well, Extreme Rising, they're looking for tag teams, and they asked me if I knew of any tag teams, and, you know, I told them about Alex Reynolds and Johnny Silver, the Slop Hunters, who are also based out of NYWC, and I told them about you guys, and I was like, oh, man, well, you know, we're available. We don't have anything. If they want to book us, just let us know, you know, and sure enough, the next day, he sent me a text. He goes, all right, you guys are on for this Saturday for, you know, the debut for Extreme Rising, and it was pretty awesome. I mean, growing up, you know, we've all watched the original ECW, and just the fact that, like, we were able to perform some crazy moves and get an ECW chant after was a weird feeling. I was like, is this really happening? You know, like, I remember as a kid me chanting ECW, and now being in the ring and the crowd chanting, it was a lot of fun.
That's great news, and Bandido, I'm so proud of you, because a lot of things are coming together for you. So,
thank you. I appreciate it.
And it can really only get better from here, sir.
I'm certainly hoping. Let's hope. Like, you know, I've set some goals for myself. So, you know, right now all I'm concentrating on is you know, accomplishing them, and hopefully we'll be able to take my career to the next level.
All right, Bandido. Now, where can the people follow you to, you know, if they want to follow this, really, 2013 can only get better. So where can people follow you?
They can follow me on my Twitter at @OneBandidoJr. I have a Facebook fan page, facebook.com/BandidoJr1. And I'm also on Instagram as well. I'm @OneBandidoJr. Any information you need on me or whatever shows I'll be, you know, performing on, you could just log on to my Facebook, it'll all be there. And you know, let's hope I get to see a lot of you guys, you know, sitting in the crowd soon.
Well, I will definitely be seeing you at CZW's next show. I know that's a big event coming up. It's a doubleheader with WSU, so that's going to be something else. That's February 9th, if I do believe so.
Yes.
Yeah, can't wait for that. That's the anniversary show for CZW, too, so
yes,
hopefully...
14 years.
Yeah, so hopefully we have that rematch, and Bandido, it's always a pleasure, and we'll get you back on a lot sooner this time. It's been, you know, like 6 months, so...
Yeah, just real quick, thank you guys, first of all. Thank you, Dean, and the rest of the crew for having me on. You know, I love to do your show. Just be sure, fans, you know, for whoever's listening this Saturday, I'll be wrestling for ECPW and Amato Productions here in Passaic, New Jersey. You know, the information's on my Facebook. And also, next weekend, I do return to CTWE, you know, for any fans out in Connecticut that want to come enjoy a good night of wrestling. I'll be there. And, yeah, just log on to my stuff, check out what's going on. And again, thank you guys for having me. It is always a pleasure.
All right, Bandito, and I look forward to hearing from you real soon.
Thank you.
All right. Bandito Jr., and it's always a pleasure to have him stop by, and we really call it up. And what I liked most about that was how both he and Adam Cole really described the match pretty much the same way.
Yeah, and watching the match, like I said, I've watched it twice this week alone, and it really is a great match, and it really shows you that wrestling on an independent level is sometimes a better product, period.
Well, I think one thing about the independent product.
Amazing.
Well, one thing about the independent product that I always liked is these guys are really trying to do it for the fans, whether it's, I think when you get to the TV level, whether it's TNA or WWE, you kind of tune out the fans. On the independent level, it's really something where the fans are still part of the show. Of course, that's what one of ECW's biggest strengths.
No, I agree with you. I'm sorry. I didn't know you were talking to me. Yeah. No,
well, no, I was talking to whoever. Apparently, Omega's building a shelf in the background.
Yeah, apparently, he's building a bill or he's hanging a ceiling fan.
Sorry. Dropped something.
That's okay. No, and you're right, because it is predicated on the fact that the crowd's involved. With that being said, like I said, I've been to some indie shows where I've wanted to smack everybody in the face and wake them up. But on the other hand, you know, the crowds of all that last New Moon Rising show we were at, that crowd was into it. Into it. 200 people sounded like 1,000.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there was 1,000 people there. I'm sorry.
And even the On Point show, which had maybe 250 to 300, they were really a loud crowd, too. A really hot crowd, and just, it was amazing to see, you know, fans that are still into it.
I got nothing.
Okay.
Sorry. I kind of shot my load on that one.
You really did, Dan, and you let me down on that one, but Omega.
Well, you know, Omega's here. Why don't you open your mouth?
Well, you're talking about a match I haven't seen.
Well, I'm not into wrestling in general. You're just leaving me hanging in the wind. Awesome. I quit again.
All right, Omega, you know what time it is.
Time for bad
commentary? I don't know.
Bad rock. You're
the intro. Holy.
Doesn't get any better.
I'd like you to do this better.
Now, Omega, over the course of the weekend, we had Strikeforce, their last event, my friend. And
the final goodbye.
I think it was a pretty good show. I really do. Now, of course, we talked last week, the main event, we said, hey, it's going to be such a bore. We already know who's going to win. Mark Hart's going to win, and that's that. What happened, Omega?
Not so much. Not so much. Somebody forgot to tell Tarek Safadine that he was supposed to lose. because he went out and basically beat on Nate Marquardt for five rounds.
Beat on his leg. It looked like a sloppy piece of hamburger by the time the five rounds were over.
It was bruised and battered and bloodied and just, you know, just a shell of itself. It was just crazy how many leg kicks Marquardt ate during the course of that fight.
Has he ever heard of checking a kick?
Apparently, he didn't think about it until the fifth round when he could barely walk on it.
Oh, you blocked that now.
Yeah, yeah. Now you block on it.
I figured it out, guys.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. I mean, honestly, I mean, why don't you at least switch stances? You know, I mean, even if you're, I mean, you know, I'm a right-hander, so if I switched to left-hand, I would be poor, but I mean, at least I wouldn't be losing my leg over the course of 25 minutes.
What it reminded me of was the strategy that was employed by Forrest Griffin when he won the UFC light heavyweight title from the Rampage Jackson. It was a different area of the leg, of course, but it was an attack on the legs to take away the power, really, and that's what happened.
It's a very apt comparison because the way Marquardt struggled throughout that fight was very reminiscent of that Rampage Griffin fight. You know, both Rampage and Marquardt couldn't seem to get anything going. They were, you know, Saffedine was stuffing Marquardt's takedowns. He was using movement and, you know, just it wasn't really. I mean, Marquardt was landing some shots, but they weren't, you know, they weren't the devastating one hand knockout power shots that would have ended the fight. You know, Marquardt just couldn't seem to get anything going, couldn't get a takedown, and just looked confused that Tarek Saffedine wasn't sitting there waiting to be destroyed, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. It was a really poor showing from Marquardt, but sometimes he really does look confused. The last time I saw him look this confused was when he fought Okami on that. It was on Spike TV. That's how long ago it was. But that's the last time he looked that confused, like he had no idea what was going on.
Yeah, it was. He just didn't have a plan B. It looked like. You know, he looked like he was going to take Saffedine down and pound him out, or at least hold him there for five rounds, and that didn't happen. And
well, the greatest insult of all, that fifth round, Saffedine did the same exact thing that you just said to Marquardt.
Exactly, took him down and started pounding on him. It was, you know, we talk about Marquardt having a really bad night. Saffedine had a great night,
mm-hmm.
too. He did exactly what he needed to do to win. And, you know, did he put on a show of skill that says to me, hey, I'm an elite fighter? No, but he's young and he's coming up. I think he can, you know, I think he's got room to grow. He at least did what he needed to do that night, which was win and get into the UFC. Now we'll see where he goes from here.
Yeah, definitely. I'm sorry. My mind's elsewhere tonight. A lot of stuff going on. But
stop reading other messages and focus.
I'm trying. It's
knock it off.
It's a thing. Now, there is one person. This is my point.
Wait. This is what it would sound like if Dean wasn't involved and I had to ask a question. Hey, Chris, did somebody get punched in the face a lot?
Yes. Somebody did get punched in the face.
Awesome. Dean, take it away.
There is one person who knew that this was going to happen. We could call him an icon in the business. Dan Henderson.
Dan Henderson. Dan Henderson had the prescience to know that this would happen.
That's right. Now, the co-main event, Omega, we saw the rise still of Daniel Cormier. He kept his perfect record of 11-0 intact. I'll tell you what. Deion starring, he really didn't look like he should have been there.
No, he looked completely outclassed in every aspect of the game. He was the sacrificial lamb to finish out Cormier's Strikeforce career.
That's for sure. Now, I think the bigger story is not necessarily the fight, because that was never really in question. The bigger story was afterwards, He called out two UFC stars. Number one, Frank Mir, who the original fight was supposed to be against.
Mm-hmm.
And number two was the light heavyweight champion, John Jones.
I know.
Your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, like you said, Frank Mir was the original fight back in November that got canceled. It makes sense for that fight to happen. Frank Mir wants it. Cormier wants it. Let it happen. They're actually going to make it happen. They're going to put it on Fox in April. So that's definitely going to happen. Now, calling out John Jones, that's a tall order. You know, the caliber of wrestling that Cormier possesses might be a good foil to Jones's style if he can manage takedowns and take him down. But you know, I would really rather see Cormier. Let's assume he gets past Frank Mir, because you know Frank Mir is obviously not a slouch. You know, so.
But Frank Mir of 2012 is not the Frank Mir of 2004.
Absolutely not, but still, he is.
Frank Mir, the thing that really bugs me about Frank Mir these days, he's gotten farther away from the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, which of course brought him his heavyweight titles and brought him his accolades, really.
Yeah.
And he's trying to box, and it's like, you tried to box Junior Dos Santos, just get back to what brought you to the game, unless he was intimidated by... And we still haven't seen Junior Dos Santos, his ground game in UFC, so I'm not sure. I don't even know what point I'm making. I'm just saying Frank Mir should stop boxing.
Yeah, Frank Mir should probably stop boxing, or at least mix up his jiu-jitsu game a little bit better. You know, but whatever. You know, back to Daniel Cormier. I mean, Daniel Cormier's got to get past Frank Mir. If Daniel Cormier gets past Frank Mir, he's got to cut the weight now to get down to 205 to fight John Jones. I would rather see him make that cut, fight someone at light heavyweight before he gets a title shot. You know.
Well, yeah, definitely. But then again, the next challenger is already Chael Sonnen, and he's done nothing to get the title shot. So why not? You know,
you've got potential challengers coming up. You have the winner of Dan Henderson, Lyoto Machida, or Alexander Gustafsson. Either one of those could fight, by the end of the year.
Definitely.
You know, so there's no need to say here in April that if Cormier gets past Mir, he gets John Jones.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Now, the rest of the main card that was on Showtime, of course, we saw who we thought was going to win, Josh Barnett, Musasi, and Ronaldo Souza. They all picked up quick submission finishes. So who do you think will make the biggest impact? Now, I'm assuming that Josh Barnett will make it back to UFC. He is a draw. He certainly has a certain style on the mic, which is lacking from the heavyweight division. So
I think that's a big assumption.
You really don't think?
Well, what do you think? I think Barnett is a... I agree with you. Barnett's a draw, but you know he just doesn't have that good relationship with Dana White and the rest of the UFC brass. I don't think anybody really sees him as a title contender.
Mm-hmm.
So and he's pretty expensive. He made the most. His salary was about a quarter of a million, I think, either $200,000 or a quarter of a million for his Strikeforce fight on Saturday. So he got a good chunk of change, and obviously he's going to want a similar chunk of change to fight. I don't think UFC values him that greatly.
Probably not, because they have their own division. But then if you look at the UFC heavyweight division, it's really the top tier of Junior Dos Santos, Cain Velasquez, and then Alistair Overeem, and then once you get past them, it's like, Barnett fits in pretty well, either as a gatekeeper or as a potential contender.
Yeah, from a outsider looking in perspective, I agree with that. I mean, I think I don't see a reason why you don't have Barnett in the UFC other than his price tag. From where he fits into the heavyweight division, I don't think anyone really thinks that he's not probably a top 10. Heavyweight, given the thinness of heavyweight right now. But I think his price tag and his attitude is going to be too much for him. Where I think he might make a decent impact and I saw suggested on a couple of places, was that he might do well in Bellator, going over to Spike TV and doing the kind of King Mole the Wall crossover star, doing TNA pro wrestling and doing Bellator fighting.
That fake wrestling crap.
Yeah, definitely. I think that may be actually a fit because they're going to have Spike TV, you know.
He had a pretty decent promo after his win.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's a good talker. I mean, I think his content probably could have used some work, but, you know, I think if you script him a little better, he could be a good – I mean, he's done pro wrestling before, so I think he can
– You know what? I saw last year's – I think it was Dream was the promotion to Japan, and it was like a 12-hour event that was on I forget the – it's Access TV now. It was HDNet, yeah. And it was on for like hours and hours, and then as soon as it was over, they played it again. But that's not the point. The point is, he was in one of these wrestling matches over there, and it was really good. And it wasn't like an American style. It wasn't even Japanese strong style. It was more of a kind of a pseudo shoot with wrestling elements thrown in. It was really odd, but he is really over in Japan too. He's like one of those guys, like a Vader or a Scott Norton, that makes it big in Japan.
Yeah.
So I mean, he always has that. Well, no, Scott Norton was huge in Japan.
Oh, I know, he was IWGP champion a couple times.
Yeah, and tag team champion with, I think it was Vader. I'm not sure, but now
then he comes over to WCW. Then he comes back home for a couple weeks, and he's nothing.
Well, yeah, because you know he's kind of bland here.
You didn't like Scott Flash Norton?
Dan, we're not getting into a WCW reference now. Musashi and Souza, who's going to make a bigger impact?
I think Souza is probably going to make the bigger impact. He's a very good fighter. He pretty much dominated at Herman, just destroyed him. He's a very strong guy. You know, assuming he can still get to middleweight, I think he can. I don't see any reason why he can't get to middleweight. I think he's going to be a really good fighter, and I think he might make a decent challenge to Anderson Silva with a couple of fights under his belt in the UFC. Now, whether or not, I'm not saying he's going to win, but he's very talented, and he could be a force. He looked very, very strong taking Herman down. Herman's a fairly well-rounded fighter. He's not a great fighter by any stretch, but you know he can, you know, Jacare can get you down. He can pound you down. He can submit you. He's got a good game.
I definitely agree.
That's not saying Musashi can't make a difference either, because Musashi is very good as well.
Well, why don't you think these guys made it in the UFC yet? Were they just waiting out the strike force?
Yeah, I think a lot of it's been contracts. I think, I think at the time, you know, I think some of it's been management, some of it's been contracts, some of it's been, money, obviously. But I think, you know, Musashi was getting really big, and then he kind of lost a fight. I think Jacare had a similar situation, but, you know, so... You know, it was only a matter of time, but these guys are still young and they were still coming up, and they were made their name more internationally, and like other some of these other international stars, you know, like Takanori Gomi, who made their name elsewhere and are starting to come into the UFC now.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, I definitely agree. We're going to get into UFC on Fox or FX7 a little bit later on because it's almost time. And I don't want to start talking about it and then go away from it. So probably after the Just in America segment, we'll get back to that. But, whew, boy, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys.
You all right over there?
I am doing great.
You thug life over there?
We'll be right back after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following. Hey guys, Brady Hicks here, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributing writer and the host of In the Room on WEXP 1600 AM in Philadelphia and TheBradyHicks.com. Like what you hear? Be sure to check out all the other great content available on TheBradyHicks.com. In the Room, Between the Ropes, JV Mail, Hell in a Cell Radio, Titus Machiavelli, The Papadon Show, What's Wrong with Wrestling, The Book Club, Saturday Night Akbaz, The Extreme Odd Couple with Steve Carino and Rob Dimension, The O Show, The Fish Tank with Bobby Fish, and Dimple Date, The Day Dating and Relationship Show at TheBradyHicks.com. Great video content. This Week in Wrestling. Stepping Out with Sassy Stephanie. WSU and ECWA TV. Completely Damaged. Wrestling Reflections with Darren Corbin. And so much more. Check it out today.
All right. So, this Saturday, New Moon Rising Wrestling will return. And in that main event is our next guest. Dan, what gracious words do you have to describe such a prestigious United States champion as Justin America?
I miss Robert.
You miss Robert as the United States champion?
No, period. No, I'm just kidding.
Way to insult the guest, Dan.
I was trying to go. Well, you know, I'm just trying to cover the Wayne Knight thing. how do I describe our next champion? Lucky.
Lucky? Luck had nothing to do with it.
Were you not at the same event?
He put on a wrestling clinic, outclassed Ty Reno and every part of the game.
How his back feels.
Outclassed him in every part of the game and walked away with the cleanest victory I have ever seen in New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Okay,
the only match that I have seen that was better and cleaner a victory than that was his
Roughneck
match
versus the Headbangers.
No, it was the Headbangers, but
I know
was Magnum XL. Taking on Justin America, of course, that is how he got the number one contendership. So,
boy.
I'll tell you what.
Bring him on.
Not only that, Dan. I mean, you bring up your game a little bit because it is now time.
Game?
Yes, bring up your game because I am telling you, this guy is, it's all class from here. That's all I got to say.
It can only get better from here.
That's right.
From what I hear.
Come West America, land that I love, stay beside me, hey, guide me, through the night be the light from above, from the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, right before, come West America.
Right, my next guest is the United States champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling. There is no one more awe-inspiring in the entire promotion. I bring to you Justin America. How are you doing tonight, sir?
Yeah, that's awesome. That sounds great.
Son of a bitch after an intro like that.
I'm sorry, guys. You were there. I was looking at my United States championship. I apologize. I'm guessing you guys asked how I am. I am doing great. How are you, Dean?
I am doing wonderful. Now that the
how are you, Cujo?
Oh,
that's my name for Wayne this week, Cujo.
Oh, Cujo. Okay, I'm doing fine.
And what about Omega?
Unless he stands in silence, I was going to say, how are you, Omega?
I'm doing great. I'm doing fine. Have hair on like Cujo. No, I mean.
Are you enjoying? Screw you.
I do have to say, I'm glad that you put the MMA section at the just before 10 o'clock hour, because having it at the end, honestly, and this is no rip, or, you know, this is no joke. Honestly, at the end was just bad timing because, Omega, you really do know your stuff, and I have to applaud you on that. You know your stuff as well as I know how great it is being a U.S. champion.
Well, I appreciate that. I really do. I mean, you sound like a very knowledgeable U.S. champion from all the interviews I've seen.
God, Jesus Christ.
I love this. This is a great time for everybody.
You know what? You two go make out, and I'll be back after this is over.
Now, the first
sorry,
thing
Cujo, we're not from San Fran.
Well, you know.
The first thing I want to bring up, Justin, is, of course, on the latest edition of Scoop Slam, we went over your...
Before you go on, I just want to say that was the best episode you ever did.
Thank you.
We went over your rather unique style of training. Now, could you, for the people who may not have seen it, could you just go over your training style? Yeah, and it's a very rigorous training. Could you go over that for the listeners out there?
Yeah, it looks like it.
I have a couple different methods that I use. Which one did we go? We went over the remote control one, right?
Yes. How you would put remote control out of your grasp every night, and you would have to climb and climb and reach for it.
I would have to climb a ladder.
Yes.
You know, every morning I would wake up and I would climb that ladder so I could grab the remote and turn on Good Morning America.
Now for the common layman out there, could you describe what the remote control symbolizes?
The remote control first symbolizes victory. And then, I forget what I said in the Scoop Slam, I'm sure it was witty, and Cujo can tell me what I said later.
But this time, it
represents victory. Because when I press the power button, that means the power is within me, and the power is on. And my game will be on this coming Saturday, when I take on, single-handedly, I take on Tank Tolan, Hot Chocolate Mike Reed, and the Stronger Than Ever Fusion DS.
Never been stronger Fusion DS. I say just let those two go out there, throw a chair between them, and see what happens.
I think what we should do with those two guys is bring them out, have a contract signing, because we all know how those things always end.
Have a contract signing, I like that. Now, Mike Reed, what's your strategy for him? I say stay away from the feed bag. You might get bit.
Hey, I don't make fun of other people's physical deformities, but I do have to say, when he frosts his tips every month and he looks in the mirror and he says, I am Hotshot, I can do this, sort of like Lightning McQueen says, I am Speed, and then he comes out of that curtain and he walks out and says, yeah, and then gets in the ring, well, I'm going to punch him in the mouth.
Now, what about the biggest dummy, Tank Tolan? There's some unfinished business there between you and Tank Tolan. Of course, the I Hate You match didn't go your way. But,
well,
what are you going to do with it?
Listen, let me explain something to everybody that was blind to the obvious. The I Hate You match didn't go my way, not because of Tank Tolan's brute strength or his incredible speed and ferocity in the ring. It did not go my way, and it went his way because he used a commentator as a weapon. He used you, Dean, as a weapon. He threw me into you. You are not supposed to use as a weapon.
I didn't think that was sanctioned. I tried to stop that match. You can hear it clearly. I called out to our master official and I said, stop the match, Anthony. His reply was, I can't because it's false count anywhere. What kind of reaction is that from a supposed master official?
The best.
Well, I do have to say, to his credit, he is the best, and he made the right call at that moment. Because if I were on the other end, if you know, earlier in the match, I was pretty much putting Tank in a one-way ticket to, you know, the end of his career for the second time. But if that would have happened. And Anthony rang the bell, I wouldn't have felt justified. And then I would have had to have gone, you know, down to Margate where he's a lifeguard and beat him up on a beach in front of the beach.
Punch him right in the mouth on the beach. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Now,
well,
obviously,
something Robert taught me.
Oh, don't bring up Robert. Not now. I can't concentrate. But going into this match, I mean, is there something gnawing at the back of your mind that maybe you guys bit off a little bit more than you could chew? I mean, is there any sense of doubt?
I do.
Enough, Cujo. No. No. There's no doubt whatsoever. Let's look at, let's stack the numbers here. Okay. Jake is somewhere around 6'13". Tank? We all know how small Tank is.
Like
Mike Reed's going to be too busy frosting his tips and tanning his and getting his tan line on. And when it comes to Fusion DS, look at the Untouchables. These are two monsters. These are two guys that come out and like the dynasty of the Chicago Bulls, they don't lose. They just don't.
I haven't seen them lose yet in New Moon Rising Wrestling.
I mean, I know they wear basketball jerseys. It's incredible.
But no, but I'm saying I have not seen these guys lose. They've gone through everybody.
Neither have I.
They've wrestled once.
No, they've wrestled Havoc and Anderson. They defeated the Nigerian Nightmares in a three-way to win the titles. Then they teamed with Jake Bishop, won that match at the May 6th event. I mean, they've been on a roll. They defeated Fusion DS. I mean, come on. One time, Dan.
Cleanly.
Obviously cleanly. I didn't see any water. What do you?
No.
Who's bringing up water?
Water? You guys done, you know, making out with each other? You have us.
I don't want anybody bringing that word up, okay? When everybody knows, and all the people listening, whether they are in the, you know, square circle combatants, or if they are fans in the ring, you know, down by ringside, everybody knows that water is the most devastating weapon in wrestling. So do not bring that up. Not while I'm on the line.
I mean, it went right in his eyes, for God's sakes.
And then it's blinding. I know you can't see.
Oh, God.
Dan, do you have anything for Justin? No? Nothing?
What?
I asked if you had anything for Justin.
Yeah, I was wondering how his back feels. Is it better yet?
My back feels fine. Why would it hurt?
I don't know. Just going through a table on top of concrete doesn't usually feel good.
Oh, no. You see, my back, I'm kind of like Wolverine. My back healed within a month, and then I beat Tyrino. Come on. Get with the picture. You saw it.
Yeah.
I beat him fair and square.
Yeah, yeah. Fair and square. I wouldn't know anything about that.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to bring up, is there any other match? Of course, we're going to go over it a little bit later, but is there any other match that you're going to pay special attention to? Is there anybody you have your eye on? Because next month you got to defend that title.
Very true. Very true. I will have to defend it. And I believe, I would have to say the one match that I'm really looking forward to, because this guy, and look, I'm not one to tell, you know, to give accolades to, you know, illegal aliens, but this guy, he's an incredible in-ring performer.
Oh,
he has yet to lose in New Moon Rising Wrestling. He competed around the world, and you know, I may say, hey, listen, Hawaiian boy, you know, I know you're not an American, but I'll give you a shot at the United States Championship. So Kakoa and the Illusionist, Damian Adams, is the one I'm going to be watching.
I think that's going to be a great wrestling match. It's going to be a clash of two different styles. That's the match I'm watching. Besides, of course, the main event, which, of course, Control of the Company. Now,
yes,
I already asked you this on the Scoop Slam this week, but when you wake up on the 20th, now, me personally, I'm going to be poolside. I'm going to be sipping on some scotch, some imported scotch. I'm going
wearing a smoking jacket.
I think so, yes.
Maybe. Even listening to a little Robert Goulet.
You know what? Goulet, I think so. I'm going to have those little those little weenies in croissants and just snacking on them.
He usually does smack on little weenies.
Possibly an ascot.
I can imagine you snacking on weenies. Yeah.
It wasn't funny the first time, Dan.
It
so
was
go
funny
for
the
second.
First time. I have to go for it.
You
Sammy.
Definitely have to. You go with that repetition. Repetition.
I figured since we're
over.
I figured since we're doing bald jokes that make no sense, why not go for the weenies?
Listen, anyway, Joe, I'm gonna explain something to you. Just like with Brady with his good humor joke, when it fails the first time, don't try it again.
Please don't compare me to him. I have a better show.
Brady tried it 3 times. Didn't work.
At least I didn't go for 3 times.
Anyway.
Hold on,
wait.
Dean, I can totally see you. Go. No, I'm kidding. Go.
So, on the 20th, when you wake up, you have complete control. What are you going to do? What's your first order of business? I hope it's firing Don Warren as commissioner.
Well, the first thing I'm going to do, besides the obvious of rolling over and looking at my beautiful United States Championship sitting next
boyfriend.
To me. Listen, Cujo, I do not live that alternative lifestyle that you live. So keep that mouth shut.
Okay.
All right.
He smacked around Brady. He'll smack around you.
Nah, no problem.
Fact.
So go ahead.
What I will probably do is book a vacation for a month. I might, you know, travel the greatest country in the world, the United States of America, and see the sights, you know, see the places that we, you know, that Americans did great things, like Mount Rushmore, land that we stole from the Native Americans and created monuments to white men. I may go out farther out west, where, you know, other land that we stole from those filthy savages and created monuments to Americans. You know, stuff like that.
I really like it. But as far as control for the company, what are you going to do?
Oh, well, company-wise? Oh, jeez, that's a doozy right there.
Why do you
right
think
there.
It's so small, Dean?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know Jake has a few plans. Maybe I might make, you know what? Maybe I might make. Well, what do you think about this, Dean? Ready?
Lay
it on. Are you looking up in the air? Are you imagining what I'm about to tell you? You see it in your eyes. You see it in your head. Let me just draw the picture. Here's me. Here's you standing side by side with my United States Championship. And then up comes the intro. The pictures are flashing by. It pulls focus, and it says the Scoop Slam with Justin America and Dean Dixon.
Oh, what a glorious day that would be.
Yeah, I like it.
I think
that's my first order of business. Brady could still have his paltry job as your co-host on the commentator's booth.
Yeah.
If that's, you know, if we don't decide to go to a one-man thing. Because we all know the board has a thing for Mr. Hicks.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So, I'll tell you what. I'm trying to get Dan back. I'm sorry. My head is not anywhere. So, Justin, any last words for the team of dummies? I like to call them the band of dummies. Any last words for them?
I most sincerely wish them the best of luck. Not to win, of course, because they're not. But that they don't die. Because I don't have any hard feelings against these guys, with the exception of Tank, but I don't want him to die. I still want him to go out and, you know, save people at the beach of Margate in between times of thinking of Jillian and looking at babes. But, you know, I don't wish him any ill will, other than from my hands.
Very good. I love it. So that's, of course, this Saturday, 10:30 Delsey Drive.
Billy 4W.
In Westville, New Jersey.
Exit 25A.
Or should I say, in Centralia, Pennsylvania.
In Centralia, Pennsylvania.
No,
might as well.
No, that's
the hottest
that's,
place
that's
on earth.
That's incorrect. It's not in Centralia. It is actually in Deptford. If you use your GPS, it's Westville, depending on if you're technology bound or map bound.
No, you know what? I didn't want to bring this up, but
I think that the building actually sits right down the middle.
Oh, no,
not again.
Oh, no, not again. No, no. I wanted to bring up...
not again.
Joe Hale today unleashed...
Who is that guy?
...quite the promo against you. He saved up all his welfare checks and bought himself a webcam. And he called you out, Justin. I mean, how does this make you feel? Obviously, if I was part of that diatribe, I'd be very upset.
Listen, you know, about last year, there was a band of yuppies. They all couldn't pay their loans, and they would say, "Oh, it's the one percenters. They're trying to keep us down. They're trying to keep us down. We are the 99%. Well, that's the way I feel. I feel like I have all of these dummies out there yelling at me, telling me I'm the one percenter, I'm trying to keep them down. And Joe Hale is just some lazy bum that sits out front of his, you know, sits out front of a building saying that he's better than that and he shouldn't have to stand up to the banking standards. The person I really feel sorry for is Captain Dave, because Joe Hale, for no reason, told him to watch out. That's a threat.
Not only that, he said he's going to rip up that sign.
Which he pays a lot of money for.
Hey, is Joe Hale a talent at all?
In some rights, yes. But not signed.
No, is he a New Moon Rising wrestling talent?
No, he is
he's a fan.
No, he's a New Moon Wrestling Rising talent, though.
Oh, okay. I just wanted that clear. Because he told me 2 months ago he was going to come to the show and have a lot to say, and I haven't heard anything instead of a boring promo.
You hear him, Dan. He's there. He's the one making this noise. Boo! If you rewatch the I Hate You match, you can hear him quite clearly throughout the match. Oh. Justin even threw a button at him.
That was the annoying guy I was trying to tune out. Gotcha.
Yes, that is Jumping Joe Hale. So, Justin, we covered a lot of ground. I can't wait for Saturday. Tickets are $10. The family four-pack, it's a bargain, $40.
Yes, it is. That
$40. I can't wait. It's going to be a phenomenal show. Don't miss it. If you're anywhere in South Jersey, if you're anywhere in Delaware, if you're anywhere in the greater Philadelphia area, come on out, because it's going to be control of the company. And it only gets better because you guys have control of the company after that.
I know. Wait. It's going to be... probably the second greatest day of my life. No, the third.
I have a question.
Yes, Cujo.
God damn it, Justin. If you knew you were going to lose power the next day, what would be the last rule you would make? Or last rule you would pass in the company?
So basically you're saying if I were Don Warren...
If you were Don Warren... Yeah, pretty much. If you were Don Warren, what would be the last thing you would push? Except Joe
Well, a failure to get a company that do ice cream bars has already been said. But I would probably say either... Ooh, this is a tough one. I would probably make sure that Justin America always held the belt because he is the greatest American.
And you know what? Your last name is America.
It is.
It's like it was destined to happen, Justin.
I really can't fight with that one. When your last name's America, I mean, what else you got? You're America.
Yeah. And I'm not the American redneck.
Oh.
Who?
The American
fatneck.
Exactly. Exactly. So, Justin, I'll see you Saturday. What?
T-Rex.
Well, T-Rex arms, yes. But, Justin, I'll see you Saturday, and I can't wait to congratulate you.
Song, right?
What?
T-Rex. They did that Bang the Gong song, right? That's who you're talking about?
No, the fat neck.
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, I can't wait to congratulate you right after the match. It's going to be something else.
And I'll tell you what, dude. I'll tell you what. Because you've been such a great guy, such an honest guy, the dean of credibility, you've always called things, the matches that I've seen online, you've always called things on, you know, on YouTube at NMR Inc. At NMR Inc. Subscribe. If the match that you've always called, I've always seen you call them fair and square. While Brady obviously is jaded and looks the other way on certain things, but
he seems to be a little bitter.
Doesn't call
because
names,
of that,
right?
When we win, I'm going to invite you in on the celebration.
Oh, can I pop some bubbles?
As my personal guest. Well, my personal guest will be the United States Championship, but you'll be my other personal guest.
That's great. Can I go to the after party?
Oh, that's me. I thought you were hosting it.
Oh, this is even better. It's a dream come true.
Okay.
Justin, I'll see you Saturday.
Okay.
Can I just sign off with one last thing besides subscribe to NMR Inc. on YouTube?
Sure.
I have to, yes.
We have a caller. I'm going to put him on because they just indicated they wanted to talk, so here we go. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Perhaps it was a mistake. Caller, 267 area code.
I'm here.
Oh, never mind. We'll be right back with you, buddy. That's the second time that happened to me. Never mind.
You're not paying attention. Get to my thing. Stop celebrating with somebody you don't even know.
He indicated he wanted to talk.
He does want to talk. He's here for an interview.
In 5 minutes. He's a little bit early. He threw me off.
No, man, he's late. He's early. He can't win with Dane this week.
Nobody.
The guy that you cheated to win.
Cheated to win? That was the cleanest win.
Oh, it's okay. You know, he just... And the guy that, you know, of course he's going to show up on your show early since he gave up his belt early. It's fine. But I just want to say, and I have to paraphrase the great Robert Knight when I say, as I lead off, this Saturday at New Moon Rising Wrestling, the Me Society will make a difference.
I love it. All right, Justin. We'll talk Saturday.
Okay, Dean. Have a good one, Omega. Have a good one, Cujo.
Thank you.
See ya.
Oh, where's America? When did I love? They beside me, they guide me. Through the night, be the life of a home. From the mountain, through the prairie, through the ocean, right before.
Nothing more inspiring than the United States champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling.
Cujo.
What do you mean, Cujo?
I don't even know what I did to earn the ire of Justin America.
Are you bored? Do you need some entertainment?
Okay. 19.
I do have a caller before I get to tie. And
nope.
Of course...
No problem, I got you, Brad. Always do, even though you're
terrible. All right, caller, state your name and where you're calling from. I'm having good luck with this. 745.
Hello.
Yes.
Hello.
I think this is, I'm not sure who it is. State your name and where you're calling from.
It's your friend Ryan.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure it was Ryan. What's up, Ryan?
I was actually going to call in to say something to Justin America, but looks like I lost out on the opportunity.
Oh, well, I can relay the message. Justin and I are pretty good friends.
They're boyfriends.
What is it with your gay jokes? They're not funny.
What's wrong with being gay? That's what I figured you were. You guys are so close. You're always talking about each other. I figured you were gay.
Anyway, Ryan, what?
The message I wanted you to deliver to Justin is to go out there and whoop. And I mean whoop on those bunch of deadbeat losers. You know, Tank, Tolan. He's a bully. You know, by the way, how was your next one?
I agree. He's done nothing but bully.
He asked how your neck was doing.
Who did?
Brian!
I did. I just asked how was your neck feeling after that vicious assault he laid on you.
Well, you know, We'll see how it goes on Saturday. But Ryan, sorry that you didn't have a chance. Do you want to stick around and listen to Ty?
I am going to stick around and listen to Ty. I'm curious to see what. I still can't believe they let him in the building, but I'm curious to see. You know, hear what he has to say, I guess.
Well, that's true. Let's find out. We're going to get to Ty. He's waiting, so time to get to him.
I got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes, hate in my heart, love in my mind. I've seen nights full of pain, days are the same. You keep the sunshine, save me the rain. I search but never find, hurt but never cry. I work and forever try, but I'm cursed, so never mind. And it's worse, but better times seem further and beyond. The top gets higher, the more that I climb. The spot gets smaller, and I get bigger. Trying to get in where I fit in. No room for it, but soon for it. It be on, cause all this it made me strong. So I pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your head. Yeah, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your head. Yeah, and I could die now, rebirth. Hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth. I'm gone. I'm gone.
All right, Ty Reno, you are now on the cell. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. How's your lips doing? You got enough chapstick over there? Because you sure need it.
Oh, come on now, Ty.
All the ass kicking you're doing on Justin America over there. And Ryan, screw you too.
I thought you and Ryan were boys still. I don't know what happened there, but
I see. You know what? That's the way to start an interview. Put it out like it is. I like this. It's going good.
Now, anyway, I wanted to talk. Well, I wanted to talk first of all, with all respect, because this is a serious issue that I'm talking about now. DWF, you have been the champion at DWF over 200 days. I believe you're at 283, something like that. And
249.
Oh, 249. Thank you. Thank you for the correction. Now, you of course defeated Big Southern Justice. You've defeated your tag team partner, Blackie, in one of the best matches I saw this year. And I go all around.
Oh, give me a compliment. Thank you.
Well, you, no, definitely. Like I said, this is serious business time. You defeated Jake Bishop from New Moon Rising Wrestling in somewhat of a controversial fashion. And then, to add to the accolades, you defeated former CZW World Champion, Devin Moore. This reign, at this point, I really think is one of the most important in independent wrestling. How do you feel? Oh, yeah, but how do you feel being that guy that has brought this much prestige to DWF and the championship there?
Well, since we're talking seriously, I feel good, you know, because back when I won the title, I never thought that it was going to actually happen. So when it actually did, and they gave me the ball and I ran with it, and 249 days later, I'm still running, and I don't see an end in sight. Now, we all know, maybe the people out there don't know, that a good friend of mine turned his back on me at the end of the Devin Moore show, Devin Moore match.
Yeah.
Ron Stark hit me in the head with a steel chain wrapped around his hand. But Ron Stark going to get his when it's coming to him, but it feels good to be the champion. Obviously, Ron wants to be the champion. He sees all the success I get and all the attention, and he wants that. So whenever the powers that be make that match, me and Ron will go one-on-one, and I'm going to show him why I'm still the heavyweight champion of DWF.
And I think an interesting thing, on the 26th of this month, you return to DWF. You're taking on Sal Sincere.
Yes.
Defending that title yet again against another legend in this business, really. I mean, they're throwing everything at you, and you just keep on knocking it down. I mean, what's your strategy going into? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Finish.
Oh, I was just going to say, what's your strategy going into this match with Sal Sincere?
Well, The thing is, I got over 20 years of silent here footage. I remember waking up on Saturday morning in Philadelphia, channel 29, and watching Silent Sincere on Superstars in my underwear, eating cereal. So,
Thank you for that time.
Yeah, you're welcome. I've had a long, you know, video and a lot of memory on Silent Sincere, so I think I got the advantage on that part, but he got years of experience, like I said. For 20 years I have watching him, that means he was in the ring for those 20 years as well. So, going into this, just taking, like I take every match, one match at a time. But I guarantee that I will walk out still at a heavyweight champion.
All right, Dan, go ahead and ask that question.
Oh, okay. Well, sure. I was just going to say, being the champ as long as you have been, is it hard to not pump your chest and say, oh, no, I'm the man. That's the end of the story? Or is it just like any other match you go into?
No, I'm an arrogant piece of shit. You know that.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm arrogant as hell. You know, they don't call me the pretty boy badass for nothing. But the thing is, I try not to. Because I've seen in the past, either from my close friends or just observing, I've seen people, they win championships, they get success, and they lose sight of the reason why they're there or how they got it. And they lose sight of that, so they lose the title. And I'm trying very hard not to go down that same path, you know what I mean? I am really trying to make it to a year as the champion and over.
Definitely, and I think if you keep up this amazing streak, like I said, I want to go back. We never really had the chance to talk about that match you had against, of course, your tag team partner, King Blackie. That match, I believe it was in July, was really...
I think it was back in June, to be honest.
June or July, and you guys just had an amazing match, and it really hasn't gotten out there as much as I think it should have. That match was an extremely good one. But moreover, I mean, do you want more opportunities to have a match like that? Because I've heard it said in the wrestling business, you always have the best matches with people you know.
Hell yeah. Like, that match with Blackie is one of my favorite matches in my whole short career. You know, the match was put together by management trying to, you know, destroy the empire, trying to throw some dissension inside within the group by having two best friends, not just two competitors or two friends in the business. Me and Blackie are friends. We came up in this business together. We actually lived around the corner from each other while we trained. So it was like me going in there fighting my brother. And yeah, we went in there and we kicked the living hell out of each other. And I would love another opportunity to wrestle any kind of match like that again, even if it's with Blackie himself. To do that one more time. I think the fans would like to see Blackie versus Todd Part 2.
I know I definitely would. Take it away, Dan.
I was just going to say, speaking about on the roll, you were tweeting the last couple weeks about something on being on TNA Gut Check. How did that go for you, and how did you first get contacted for that?
It was surreal. You know, I felt like everyone else did it, but I didn't think it was going to happen. And I got a phone call from someone from the TNA office that Thursday before the Gut Check. They said they had a spot open and asked me if I wanted to compete. I wanted to try out for it. So obviously I said, hell yeah, I'd be dumb like, oh no. So I'm sorry.
No, I was just laughing at what you said. Oh no, go ahead.
Yeah, like, especially the actual Gut Check took place not that far from my house, so I'd be an idiot not to take this opportunity. So when I got there, you know, I was nervous like anyone else would be. I'd be a liar if I said I wasn't nervous. It's Gut Check. I don't know if it's swearing, but you know me. I swear every other word. But it was so fucking surreal. Sorry. There you go.
It's all right.
I had a good time, and if nothing come about it, great. That's me. I just try harder, go back to it. I'm so glad I had the opportunity. I learned a lot, and hopefully something comes from it.
Now, this wasn't televised. Like, were there cameras there? This was at a small place, or what was the actual process?
Yes, it wasn't the Gut Check that you see on TV with the You go in there, you got Jerry Bull wrestling. This is your gut check. No, it wasn't one of those gut checks. No, it was about 21 other wrestlers there, the local guys. And you go in there, you show your ass, and you try to get them to look at you. And that's what we did. We went in there, and we showed our ass and tried to get Pat Kenny, you know, Simon Diamond, to take a look at us and see if we were TNA material.
Mm.
And that's exactly what we did. At least I think that's what I did. You only get to do your best. No one can ask more than you be your best. So when I did that, put my best foot forward.
When will you hear on something?
They said within the next 3 weeks after the event, so I still have some time. Like I said, if they want me, that's awesome. If they don't, I just work on a few things and go back at it. Never give up. You never give up.
Well, I just want to say good luck. It'll be nice, hopefully, to see some local guys on TV getting part of that show. I'm rooting for you, man.
Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot. That means a lot to me.
Now, moving gears to this Saturday, you're back in action with New Moon Rising Wrestling. You're going to be taking on the standard of excellence, Nathan Avery. Now,
Nathan?
Yeah. Do you know anything about Nathan?
Actually, yes. Nathan and I also came up in we trained together.
Oh.
He trained with Ian Blackie. You know, I've never wrestled Nathan one-on-one or at all, for that matter. But I like Nathan. He's going to be a poppers, as you can see. But I like Nathan. But to say that Nathan is in the wrong place at the wrong time. I got screwed out of my United States title last night. Okay, what you say, Demi?
That's debatable. It's debatable. But you did lose the United States title. But go ahead.
I was hit in the head with the title, and my head hurt for 6 days after that.
Hit in the head with the title? What are you talking about? Jake was trying to hand you a towel.
Dan?
No, he's wrong. He's wrong. I was there.
Thank you.
Right. Dean,
he was a little sweaty. Jake was trying to help him out. He had sweat in his eyes.
He can only control his anger for so long, Dean.
I advise you to get some other glasses other than the ones you got from Rite Aid and take them to your life.
I'm on a budget, Ty.
I got screwed out of my title, and I'm about to say something to you guys. This is going to be surprising to you. I am rooting for the Meat Society this Saturday.
Really? Why would
what?
You? I find this hard to believe.
Hear me out. I am rooting for the Meat Society because that means if the Meat Society have all the gold, that means I get my rematch against one just in America.
I see. You want to get revenge on Just. You want him to still be champion to get your vengeance on him.
Why wouldn't I?
Fair point.
It does make sense to me, Dean.
No, I'm saying it's a very good point, because why would he... Because Mike Reed would be the United States champion if that team wins. So he has no beef with Mike Reed, so obviously he wants to beat up...
Beef. But if Mike Reed do become the U.S. champion, hey, it is what it is. I want my belt back. It's not personal. It's business. So on Saturday, Nathan Avery, sorry, your name is going to be just in America, and I'm going to beat the hell out of you. Simple as that.
Now, of course, you're a little bit frustrated because of the way things went down at the last show. You're claiming a belt. I don't know where this story is coming from, but upside your head or something. But so Nathan Avery is in the path of the storm. I mean, what do you have to say to Nathan? I know you said, you know, wrong place, wrong time, but what do you have to say to him?
Nathan Avery, you're like a little sailboat in the ocean. You're swimming along in a big wave. You do not know what's coming. And a big wave is me. Sorry that you had to be the one that got standing in my way of getting my United States title back.
Now,
I'm not finished talking. I'm not going to kill you. That's redundant. But I'm going to beat you to the end of your life. You're going to wish you was dead.
Whoa. That.
On Saturday, Nathan, lace him up. Lace him up tight. On that night, argument for a fight.
Well, you sold me on it.
I poet and he didn't even know it.
Yeah, no, but you sold me on it. Now, do you feel like this is like you're rebounding at this point? You're kind of rebuilding where you were, because since the rebirth of New Moon Rising Wrestling, you won PG-13. You went through 13 of the best in the company, won that United States title in PG-13. But now, do you feel like it's kind of starting all over again for you?
I wouldn't say starting all over. It's a little setback. You know, it's a bump in the road. That's okay. You know, you get a little flat tire, you pull over, and you change that tire, and you keep on moving. So that's all it is. Not a starting over. It's not a stopping. It's a little bump in the road. That's all it is.
All right. Now, looking back at 2012 as a whole, of course, you had a very successful title reign with DWF, title defenses, United States Championship of New Moon Rising Wrestling, and we didn't even touch on the success you've had in Valor Pro, but all these things happened to you. Could you sum it all up in a nice, tidy package for us? What was 2012 like for you in professional wrestling?
Awesome. Unbelievable. Awesome. The Empire, you know, we lost some steam, but we're getting it back. King Blackie, Tina Duvall, myself, and a new member of the group, Old Dog. You know, we getting our steam, but the 2012 was a good year. It has its ups and downs like any other year, but it was more ups than downs. I'm the DWF Heavyweight Champion of the New Moon Rising United States Champion, excuse me. In 2013, Blackie and I will be your new Power Pro Tag Team Champions come March 23rd. With the Gunners, the Empire, Tina Duvall, we won the things. You already knew this. We used to say all we do is win, but this year, no one's messing with my clique, and you know it.
All right. That sounds great, Ty.
You sold me.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time out. I will see you Saturday. Hopefully, we can start over, Ty, because I got to admit, I really do respect you.
Thanks a lot.
So,
I'm willing to start over. I don't like confrontation. I am not a confrontational guy.
I was just going to say.
I don't believe that, but I believe that in your favor.
But, Ty, it's always a pleasure, and thank you for taking this time out. And Saturday, big match with Nathan Avery. I really feel that he could be in some trouble. Of course, Nathan hasn't won a match yet in New Moon Rising Wrestling. Maybe it's time. Who knows? We'll see you on Saturday.
See you on Saturday. Dan, always a pleasure. Dean.
Oh.
Yeah.
I forgot. Is there anything you wanted to plug? Anything besides, of course, this weekend we have New Moon. The following weekend you have DWF. That's the Matter of Respect show on the 26th. Is there anything else you have coming up?
Just focusing on these two shows, making sure I'm doing my all. I really have nothing left to plug. When the times come, I'll give you a call.
All right. Now, how about your Twitter and your Facebook if you want people to, give you a follow?
Follow me on Twitter at The Real Ty Reno. Facebook, you follow me at Ty Reno. Hell, you want to follow me on Instagram, put some funny shit up there.
Yes, he does.
At Real Ty Reno on Instagram.
Yes, he does. That is an Instagram worth it. If you were thinking about joining Instagram, download it and join his Instagram. It's hilarious crap on there.
All right. All right, Ty. It's always a pleasure. I'll speak with you on Saturday. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. Also, YouTube channels. You can follow The Empire 215. KFA TV will be back.
I certainly hope so.
So it's coming back. Also, at TyReno 215, you can follow my Facebook page and everything. You see everything that you need to see. But that's it.
One last thing about Kayfabe TV. Over the summer, there was some great footage that was shot. I hope that makes its way onto a new episode.
Have to wait and see. It's coming to a YouTube channel near you.
Oh, yeah.
I can remember one night where Captain Dave hosted a episode of The Outlaw's Den. That was...
Oh, God, no.
With Salamander Jones. And what a low point for Salamander, really.
What a low point for us all.
Isn't that any, isn't that a low point in general?
It was one of the most amazing things I was ever a part of.
I didn't know whether the last or throw my keys in his teeth.
Oh my god!
But Ty, it's always a pleasure. We'll speak Saturday, and you have a good night, sir.
You too. Thanks a lot, guys. Dan, always a pleasure. Dean, we can build on our relationship.
That's right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
I got ice in my veins, blood in my eyes, hate in my heart, love in my mind. I seen nights full of pain, days are the same. You keep the sunshine, save me the rain. I search but never find, hurt but never cry. I work and forever try, but I'm cursed, so never mind. And it's worse, but better times seem further and beyond. The top gets higher, the more that I climb. The spot gets smaller, and I get bigger. Trying to get in where I fit in, no room for it. But soon for it, it be on. Cause all this it made me strong. So I pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your f***ing head. Yeah, I'ma pick the world up and I'ma drop it on your f***ing head. Yeah, and I could die now, rebirth. I hop up in my spaceship and leave Earth. I'm down. I'm down.
All right, we're back. And that was quite the interview with Ty Reno, I tell you. All jokes aside, everything else aside, I really do respect the guy. He's come a long way in really the time that I've seen him. If you recall, the first time I had him on Hell in a Cell Talk Radio, forgot his name.
Yes, I do remember that.
And now he's one of the guys that I think what – when I really took notice of the guy was, of course, that interview on May 6th.
Yeah.
But after that, it was that match with him and Blackie. It was really a great match.
You know what? I've seen him wrestle a couple times. I really have not seen him be bad.
Oh, the LJ Cruz match, too, that they had when he defended the title against LJ at I forget the name of the show, Fallout. At Fallout. And,
oh, yeah, yep.
I mean, just the way that started, wow. I mean, he's really come a long way.
He's a great worker, and he's a great guy, too, on top of it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But definitely. And, shoof, I'll tell you.
We're going to have to change the rating again.
Whatever. It happens. Now,
all right, go ahead.
Well, I want to get into, of course, Omega. I want to get into UFC on FX7. And we have some pretty good fights coming up on Saturday. That's of course at 9 p.m. I believe on FX, and it's of course headlined by a pretty big one, I'd say. And like the last couple of Belfort fights, I don't think reached their potential. This one certainly has the potential to be a really good one. It's Michael Bisping taking on Vitor Belfort, the former light heavyweight champion of the world. So, Omega, I got my money on Bisping. I think it's his time to shine.
Yeah, I can get behind that. I think Bisping is he's one of those guys. He's got a great cardio. He's got great defensive striking, and he's just an all around hard worker in the ring, in the cage. Belfort, you know, we've talked about it before. He never seemed to really reach his potential. Obviously, he's been the champion, so I guess he really did. But, you know, it always seemed that when it came down to the really great fighters, he came up short. You know, Belfort is going to have to come out, and he's going to have to come out hard and aggressive and try to hit Bisping with that on that suspect chin. We've seen Dan Henderson knock out Michael Bisping.
Did we ever at UFC 100?
Did we ever?
Yes.
Did we ever? And you know, he Bisping can be beat, but generally you have to kind of keep it close and win the decision. Other than the Dan Henderson loss, it's been pretty close decision losses for him.
You know what? And I still say he beat Chael Sonnen 29-28 in their big Fox fight. That wasn't really a great fight by any means, but it was. I felt Bisping was in control two of the three rounds, but of course the judges didn't see it that way.
I tend to agree. I thought Bisping won that fight as well. Really, what it comes down to is Vitor, you know, he's not going to out-cardio Bisping. So if Vitor's got to come out and find a way to submit him or knock him out in a hurry. If it goes too long, I think Bisping wins this. I think Bisping can grind out a decision, use his footwork, use his distance, defensive countering, and he should be able to stay off the ground and avoid Vitor's submission. So I think Bisping will, to your point, will probably have win this one via decision, and probably will go on to fight Anderson Silva and finally get his wish.
Now let's just say this does happen, Silva. Do you think it's just another lamb to slaughter once Silva and Bisping go at it?
Well, I hesitate to call it lamb to slaughter because I think that's a discounting Bisping's talent. I don't think Bisping has an advantage anymore. All his advantages kind of go away fighting a guy like Anderson Silva, because a guy with that kind of pinpoint striking is going to be able to most likely be able to defeat his defensive abilities. And, you know, it could very well go down just like the Henderson fight. Bisping will get on his bicycle and will just to keep moving to the same way and walk right into it. You know, Henderson just needed that one shot. Anderson Silva's got many shots he can hit you with.
Oh, yeah. That's one thing. But that was just stupid. He kept on – we're talking about the USC 100 fight where he just kept circling to Dan Henderson's power side. Made no sense.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's – you know, I don't want to discredit Bisping's talent, like I said. I think he's got as good a chance as anybody has had against Anderson Silva.
Do you feel that Bisping's kind of been overlooked and underrated?
No, I really don't. I think Bisping is a talented fighter. I just don't see him as this. I don't think he's that underrated. I don't think he's underrated at all. I think he's always been that solid competitor. I think he's always been very good at the top of that division, especially since he moved down from light heavyweight. But you know, I just don't see it. I really don't see it that he's been overrated. I think right now is probably a good time for him to be getting a title shot. I don't think he needed to be rushed into it. And I think some of his past losses, you know, the one against Chael Sonnen, for example, you know, it's now is Bisping's time. I think it's the perfect time for him to try to get that title shot. Unfortunately, he's got a buzzsaw in a title holder right now. Yeah. But of course, he's got to get past Belfort. So
yeah, and Belfort is no slouch. I mean, I don't want to overlook Belfort. He's certainly no slouch. But he, again, this is another guy, kind of like we were talking about Frank Mir earlier. It's another guy. He's not the same fighter he was in 2004.
Exactly. So, I mean, but that being said, he almost caught John Jones.
That's true. That is very true. John Jones, very lucky he got out of that one. Now, the co-main event, Daniel Serafin taking on C.B. Dalloway. How do you see that one going down?
You know, I did not watch the Ultimate Fighter Brazil, so I haven't seen a lot of Daniel Serafin. And it's everything I know, he's a pretty good fighter, but he did come up short in that tough finale. Dalloway, you know, he's got that wrestling pedigree. He's always going to be able to take somebody down and try to ground and pound him. But from what I know about Serafin, I think he's going to be able to get up from those takedowns. And then C.B. Dalloway's striking becomes kind of suspect. It's very middle of the road with his striking. And, you know, I think you could see. I'm not going to call it an upset. I think Seraphim will probably take this by decision.
Okay. Now the next one we got Gabriel Gonzaga, who kind of has had a resurgence in the UFC ever since he took that. I think it was a couple of years he took off. He's taking on Big Ben Rothwell, and another pick 'em, really.
Yeah. I think it's a pick 'em. I think what this one could come down to. This is one of those fights that's going to either end really quick or it's going to be a boring three rounder, because both these guys have some suspect cardio. I think Rothwell likes to press a guy up against the fence and kind of, you know, pound him from there. Gonzaga is very good on the ground if he can get you down there. And he's also, you know, he's had some highlight reel knockouts. It is kind of a pick 'em. You know, if it goes to the ground, Gonzaga will probably take this. If it kind of stays standing, I think it probably goes to Rothwell. And if it goes too long, I think it might go to Rothwell as well, because then it would just have been a grinding fight.
Yeah, definitely. Now, moving along, the last fight, you're going to have to say this name. That's why you're on the show.
That's right, yeah. That is a mouthful. Nurmagomedov.
You gave it the old college try.
Yeah.
Yeah, the old Syracuse fighting whatever's there.
That guy.
Taking on Thiago Tavares?
Thiago Tavares. Pick him. Again, I think you got to go with the young up-and-comer who's undefeated at this point. Tavares hasn't done much in the UFC for a while. This is one of those international fights that they're trying to fill the cards with, which I'm completely fine with. But that being said, Nurmagomedov has a couple good wins over, you know, some good fighters in Gleison Tibau and Kamal Shalarus. So he's a very he's definitely has some good wins under his belt. I think Tavares, you know, he's never really gotten anywhere in the UFC. I think we'll probably see Nurmagomedov go to 19-0 in this fight.
Hmm. I didn't even know he was 19-0. He's kind of one of those overlooked guys that has this amazing record that you don't know much about.
Yeah, he's had two fights in the UFC. So, you know, can he make it 3-0? I think he probably can against this guy.
All right. So one thing I did want to say about this fight card is it is in stark contrast to the Strikeforce card. Last weekend, of course, it was overwhelmingly you knew who was going to win. And four out of those five fights, those people did win. Now, in this one, you have, I'm looking at it, everything's pretty much even. I'm even looking at the Vegas odds right now. Three of the four are pick-ems.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this should be a really competitive night of fighting.
Yeah. Yes, it should be. It should be competitive. You know, the problem with competitive, it goes one way or another. It could be competitive. Also, can mean boring. So we'll have to see. I think to your point, in contrast to Strikeforce, we've got some fights on here that actually have some meaning, especially at the top of the card with Bisping Belfort. The rest of the card kind of rounds out as a good international flavored Brazil based card that has some good names. You know, with Gonzaga, with Dolloway, with Rothwell, but also Edson Barboza. There's a featherweight contest, Diego Nunes versus Nick Lentz. That's going to be a good fight and could have title implications down the road for Nunes if he can manage a win. So. It's good, and it's going to be on free TV. Really can't complain.
Yeah. So that's of course, Saturday main card starts on 9 p.m. on FX. And it's in Brazil, right?
It is in Brazil.
And those are always wild crowds.
Yes.
When they go to Brazil, it's amazing. That Aldo fight from last year when he just amazing.
When he ran into the crowd after? Yeah.
I mean, those just crowds insane. Are just... There's like national pride on the line with these fighters. It's so different when you know, Americans kind of sit there and they're like, yeah, I like Frank Mir, but
Americans boo when somebody goes to the ground. That's what they're, yeah.
Well, that's true, too. Yeah. I mean, these, well, the Brazilians are really into the ground game and, the you know, the intricate battles and everything that are going on, you know, the control battles. They're into it. It's like a Japanese wrestling crowd versus an American wrestling crowd is the best.
It's very similar.
Yeah, the best way I can describe it. So, now, in stark contrast, we have New Moon Rising Wrestling. That's, of course, Saturday night as well. Doors open at 6. Bell time is 7. Dan,
you
have quite the card coming up. Of course, we've already talked in great detail about the 8-man ladder match. Now, also on the card, Keiko of the Flying Hawaiian taking on Damian Adams with Larry Lawson.
These two guys were my favorite. The first time I saw them last month, I'm really looking forward to this match. I think he's a great wrestler, and I think with Lawson, he's going to make a, I guess impact is the wrong word to use in that company. I think they're going to go to the top of the card there. Okay. I think.
They definitely have the opportunity. Now, of course, he had a temporary setback last month, Damian Adams did. But he really could rebound. Now, Keiko is on fire, not just in New Moon Rising Wrestling. He's on fire.
In general.
Yeah. Everywhere he goes. Certainly in Europe, everywhere. He's international.
I think he will be one of the top guys, if not the top guy at New Moon before the end of the year.
Oh, definitely.
I really do.
I don't even like the guy, and I'm saying that. So.
Well, you're a jerk. It's fine.
Of course, we talked about Ty Reno taking on Nathan Avery. Nathan Avery has had a lot of roadblocks on his way to title contention.
He also leaves by the wrong door sometimes.
Well, he was very upset. He felt...
Why do you defend these guys? He lost. Was he a sore loser?
No, he's not a sore loser. He didn't lose. It was Chris Levin. Let's talk about Chris Levin.
Okay.
Shows up. He's an inexperienced referee. Shows up, and he counted 3 when it should have been a 2.
1, 2, 3. It's not hard to count to 3.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Thank
well,
you for proving my
job.
Point.
He did his job. No, it's exactly the opposite.
Thank
of
you for proving
point.
My point.
It's the opposite. Opposite.
So Nathan Avery will be taking on
when
Ty Reno.
Your shoulders are down for 3 seconds.
Both
lose.
Guys.
Period.
Really trying to rebuild here. So this should really be a lot on the line.
I'm sure you leave by the right door this time, Nathan.
Just stop it. Now, another match that I have seen in other places, but this is really, and it's actually been a New Moon, too. These guys continuing their series of matches. These guys just don't like each other. Of course, it's Mr. Deadweight, Trust and Believe, LJ Cruz.
Dude.
Taking on Mark Angel, the newest member of the Burgundy Brigade. Actually, the only member right now, but Slim Burgundy will be at ringside for this. His newest charge, Dan.
I'm just excited that Slim Burgundy will finally be at ringside for a whole match and not just chilling out and taking notes.
We finally get to see what he brings to the table.
Exactly.
And this is a guy, quite frankly, that has worked his ass off. To get to where he is. He has earned everything he has gotten.
Some people don't agree with that, apparently.
And if you... Fuck it. You know? I mean, come on.
No, I agree. If you know this guy, you know, and I'm not criticizing him because I am a fat ass, but he's a bigger guy, and he quite frankly has been doing what I can't do, mostly because I don't live in New Jersey, but he's been taking bumps and getting right up faster than I could with 2 good knees. I mean, the guy has definitely earned it, and I really am looking forward to seeing that. Past that...
Yes. Thank you for getting me back on.
The match, I think, is going to be one of the highlights of that night.
Well, I certainly. But besides that, you have that factor of Slim Burgundy at ringside.
And sometimes, hey, that brings me back to the point I forgot to make. Sometimes a manager can make or break you, i.e. helping out if needed. You never know.
I like to call it advice.
Yes, physical advice.
No, not physical.
The greatest managers have done it.
The man holds a valid. The man holds a valid managerial license.
Yeah,
a valid managerial license. He has a right to be out there.
No, so. I don't say, I'm not saying he doesn't, but the greatest managers don't deny it. Have Bobby Heenan has physically gotten involved for his wrestlers. I'm just saying it's an advantage there. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying you have an ace in a hole.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
I can't wait.
The debut. It's going to be something else. And
I want to see Mark Angel win one, and I don't mean that disrespectfully. I want to see him win one this time.
Definitely. Definitely. Now,
please don't hit me, Mark Angel.
There's also an open challenge, Dan. The Legion of Anarchy.
Oh, finally going to see these guys.
In action. That's, of course, the former champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling, Luis the Punisher Martinez. His big friend, Broly. And they have an open challenge. It hasn't been answered yet, Dan.
No, but I please, somebody challenge so Broly doesn't come after me. He has a thing for coming after me, and I don't know why.
Last time we saw Broly, he laid waste to half the roster. Killed Amadeus. I don't know.
And of course, I don't think it should make him mad.
I really don't think you should make him mad, dude.
I think, Dan, you need to, like, watch your back.
No, I'm just going to hide behind the camera and wear something dark, and hopefully I blend in. Hopefully his foot is still in a boot so I can outrun him.
You know, at that show, there were three guys with boots on. But
I noticed. I was like,
they should have made a boot army or something. I don't know.
How are you going to be? I mean, disagreeing on how it happened, your neck is injured. I don't see how. Are you going to be there?
I'm there. I'm going to be calling the action. I'll be in a lot of pain.
Okay.
But Percocets are a wonderful thing.
I was going to say, do you have good meds?
I was going to say, Percocets are a wonderful thing. I'll never forget first knee surgery, bottle of horse pills. Take these until they're gone. Okay.
No problem there.
No problem.
And, of course, the cherry on top of a wonderful Sunday is going to be Night Court returns to a live audience. It's going to be Robert Knight, special guest HPR Glenn Storms.
Yeah. You can stop banging that, please.
Oh, sorry. The crowd can't wait for that, I'm sure.
Are they not booking female matches for a reason?
I have no idea. You would have to talk to the board. Talk
to
Don Warren. Send all your hate mail to Don Warren.
I'm going to wait and make sure I send my mail to the right place, because if I send mail to Don Warren and he's not there after Sunday, what's the point?
That's true. So wait. Of course, control the company, Dan. We talked about it.
Sir.
Control the company. Don Warren put up the control. He has faith in the team of dummies. That's Tank Tolan, former WWE superstar.
What a dick.
Exactly. Also, Hot Shot Mike Reed, the former Hot Shot. He's now upgraded.
Isn't he like a version 4.9 or something?
I have no idea. I don't pay attention.
I don't either. Yeah! All right, let's wrestle.
And, of course, Fusion DS taking on the Me Society, Jake Bishop, the champion of New Moon Rising Wrestling, the United States champion, Justin America, who was on earlier tonight and gave away some key points of strategy. And, of course, the Untouchables, who did defeat the Nigerian.
I think Fusion DS is fine because it reminds me of the time where the Steiners were fighting and they still won the tag team championship at sold out WCW.
Oh, Dan. You're going to make me do it, aren't you?
You're just supposed to do it. You're supposed to ask.
You're going to make me do it.
I don't go for a week without hearing that.
It is a very good sound bite. Thank you, too.
Thank you, Atu.
Yes.
It's like the perfect shut up. With an echo.
Yeah. Just really
from
cast
the heavens
it off.
Above, shut up.
Yeah, so that's, of course, Saturday, 10:30, Delsey Drive. It actually resides in Deptford, or if you punch it into the GPS, Westville, New Jersey, exit 25A off 295, right down 47. You can't miss it. It's going to be a night of action. Tickets are only $10. The family four-pack, $40. Robert Knight will be there. His special is always on. 8x10s. one for five, or two for ten.
I miss you, Robert.
So we have that coming. Of course, I want to thank our guests this evening. Of course, you can follow Bandito on Twitter at OneBanditoJr. You can follow Tyrino at RealTyrino. And follow Justin America at JustinAmerica82.
Also follow Empire, 215 Empire.
Yes, yes. And the return of Kayfabe TV, which personally I cannot wait to see.
I'm looking forward to that.
That should be great. If
we need to still go to Brownies 23.
I don't know if I have it in me. I really don't.
Well,
I've seen how these guys party, Dan.
I'll hang out with them, and you can just film it.
No, I'm not even filming it. I don't think I got it in me. I really don't. So.
Hey, I've seen, speaking of his Instagram, I've seen pictures of them partying, and I can only say I wish I was there. The New Year's Eve pictures were interesting.
Oh, definitely.
Hammered, sloshed is a good word for it.
Empire 215, that's a way of life. Like I said, Ty, I have a lot of respect for, and I hope the best is yet to come for him. Slim Burgundy makes his managerial debut. That's a personal story for me, as I see my friend do something that he wants to do.
Period.
And I think that means the world to on a personal level. So, you know.
That's cute.
It really does. So I'm just happy for him.
No.
But...
Want a hug?
Of course, check out NMRWrestling.com. Check out CZWrestling.com. I always say that wrong.
That's such a ridiculous web link.
It is in a way because you think, whatever.
Never mind. Don't.
also, not only that, check out NMR Wrestling. What is their
name? NMR Wrestling, Inc.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. You. On YouTube. Follow them on YouTube, NMR Wrestling, Inc. That's where fan mail now is.
Scoop Slam
is.
A Wednesday night program, apparently, in the works.
Called Eruption.
I hope it's Eruption.
I really hope it's Eruption. I just named it, and since Justin will hear this, he has an in. He's going to be the boss. Everybody's talking about it. I think it should be Eruption.
I certainly do as well. Check us out next week. Now, next week, well, before next week, we have a big live pre-show coming up on Saturday, 4:30 p.m. We're going to be there live at the Proving Ground.
I'll be there at 5:30 p.m.
Yeah, well, I'll make it a go, whatever. But, so, of course, catch us for that. I'm trying to line up the guests as we speak for that. It should be an amazing time.
Based on the last live show we did for On Point, this is going to be a great show. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be great interviews. We're going to go down the card, and it's going to be excellent. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, I definitely agree. So check that out at 4:30 on Saturday. And, of course, next week, first time ever in the cell, Greg Excellent from CZW will be with us. Can't wait to go over some of his career. Of course, the Mia Yim trilogy is something I want to talk about. And, of course, his promotion, GBW, runs out of the Hanover area, so I want to talk to him.
Are they not wrestling, having another match in March?
No. Well, he's wrestling Colt Cabana at WrestleCon, WrestleMania weekend. In February, he's actually wrestling Chrissy Rivera.
Right, I know that, but I saw something where he was.
He's talking about it.
A poster for it, dude.
No, I think that was the poster from last. That's something else.
You know what? It might have been last year. Actually.
Yeah, that was Ariel Salt from last year.
Okay.
The ladder match they had, but I want to talk to him about the Mia Yim trilogy. We heard Mia Yim's side. We're going to hear Greg Excellent's side.
That's going to be interesting.
Looking forward to that. And then the following week, we have Drew Gulak. He's going to have a campaign for a better Hell in a Cell.
Huh?
Campaign for a better Hell in a Cell. Of course, in CZW, he is in charge of the campaign for a better CZW. So why not, you know, shape this program up? Why not?
Does that involve kicking me out?
No.
Probably.
No. That would be a good idea.
No, stop it.
I got news for you. Based on my track record, I'll be the first one to go. You'll never make You'll never make it anywhere with me.
You had to get one in, didn't you?
you.
For Omega, where can the people find you, Omega?
Hell. hell, yeah. The people can find me on Twitter, at Omega Squad.
The unemployment line.
The unemployment line, yeah.
For Dan Law.
On the corner, begging for food.
You just find me on the corner eating food at DanLaw83.
And not only that, Devin Moore has confirmed for February 6th. That's another
hell yeah.
That's going to be great. So, and then the next French Interruption will be February 13th. Just
yeah.
A lot going on.
Are we going to just make that a monthly thing?
It is. It is a monthly thing.
No, I mean forever and ever.
As long as we can make it interesting, I certainly agree, Dan.
I don't think there's a problem. Don't.
Definitely not. Definitely not.
I want to talk to the angry wrestling vet.
And I'm working, Dan, on the greatest lucha rock band to come out of the Grimlock system. Pretty soon, Dan, we're going to have them. That's going to be very interesting.
Huh?
More details as they come. But also next week, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact we have the ECWA Mid-Atlantic champion, Ricky the Model Martinez, will be joining us. And he has the opportunity, Dan, if you didn't hear in the room last night, he has the opportunity. He's right. Going to be in a four-way match for ECWA. Now, the four competitors, I just want to get this out there real quick. Whoever wins this match gets the eighth spot. So this is big time. It's Apollyon, Ricky Martinez, Kay Koa, and newcomer to ECWA, VSK. And VSK, if you haven't seen him, try to see some footage of him. He's really he impressed me in his first match. That was back in December with ECWA. But Danny had the upper hand that night. But I'll tell you what, VSK, a lot of excitement. So whoever wins that four-way match, now it's a tornado style. I'm not sure if it's elimination. They go down, or if it's just one
right.
fall to a finish.
One fall to a finish, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure how it's going to be. Joe last night said elimination, so I'm assuming that...
I would assume that means elimination then, Dean.
You never know, though. Joe sometimes...
Changes things?
Well, he's tired when he calls in. His bedtime's like 8:30. He's an old man. But I love Joe. I do. But whoever wins that gets the eighth and illustrious spot. And, of course, the eight competitors are Damian Dragon, a friend of the show. Check out Nerd Herders Friday night, so Dream Elite on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
He's also Deadpool in a web series, a very good web series, I would say.
Which we're producer on one of the episodes.
Not only that, Dan, this coming Saturday, and see all this stuff is coming to me now, but this coming Saturday there's going to be an exclusive trailer that's going to be unleashed for the fans of New Moon Rising Wrestling. And the director of the series will be in attendance.
Oh, really? That's cool.
So, yeah, a lot going on. So Damian Dragon, of course, he was the first one entered. We also have Mike Mondo, former WWE star. He was one of the Spirit Squad. He's reinvented himself from Ring of Honor. Mike Elgin, of course, another Ring of Honor star. Facade, who has a lot of buzz. He's a high flyer. He's really a dark horse in this whole thing. He's in it. The current ECWA champion, Chris Wilde, is in it. Bordell Walker, who works down in Georgia. He's been in Ring of Honor, been in plenty of other promotions. NWA Dog is one locally he's worked for. And, of course, the defending Super 8 champion, Papadon, was named as the number 7 contestant.
You have to have him in there.
So I look at this list, and I go, at least four of those guys I could probably get on any time. I have reached out to others, so we'll see. We'll see. I definitely would like to get on as many as I could, because that's where this whole crazy ride started last year, Dan. So without further ado,
we're coming up on the anniversary soon, folks. We made it, almost.
Yeah, definitely. I was never in doubt. Well, maybe in November I was a little bit in a doubt, because... There was a lot going on.
There was a lot going on.
Yeah.
And you're a crybaby.
No, I'm not a crybaby, Dan.
No.
Apparently a lot of things happen at the proving grounds when I'm not around, but enough said about that.
Bang, bang.
Yeah, but Dan, I'm telling you what, it only gets better from here. Our 50th episode. Now, we've had more than 50. Of course, I don't count the live shows into that or the mini-sodes. I don't count into that. Like the Walking Dead Q&A, I didn't count into that. But the 50th official episode is coming up very soon. I believe next month. So that should be a that should be a special one. I believe actually the 50th episode is the next. Yeah, it's the 13th. It's going to be the next French Interruption. And you know, how better can you can't get better than that?
No, no. The best way to get him to celebrate is to get him on. Really.
Again, that's Omega Squad at Omega Squad. It's Dan Law at DanLaw83. I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County on Twitter. And until next week. Well, no, until Saturday.
Saturday!
Saturday!
Until Saturday. You
Saturday,
guys
Saturday.
You guys have a few couple days to think about it. Get out to the Proving Grounds, 1030 Delphi Drive in Westville, New Jersey. It's going to be a great show. I personally guarantee it. And have a good couple days.
Good night, everyone.
All right, here's yours. I'm very glad you won that fight, Matt, but I'm not impressed by your performance, and I look forward to fight you in the near future.